It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com, because we have 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 3,000,000, 87 million listeners. The number of people who got their information stolen from Facebook.
Oh, no.
All over the world, I'm Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, with all my passion and energy, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm here with, and I have to say,
yes.
Carrie Kasem, my beautiful and talented co-host. You just took an amazing picture. You look like a model. It looks like it's been touched up, and I'm staring at it right now.
We just had a good filter on we took a picture with my awesome filter, and it looked great.
I thought it was your awesome Dino who took the picture.
Dino's good. But yeah, we put it up on Twitter. So if you go to my Twitter or my Instagram, you'll see it. You should retweet it from Gervie's Law.
Yeah, I will retweet it. Dino has to go, though. He's got a Tom Likas dinner to get to.
Tom.
Tom's retiring, I heard.
I can't believe that.
And Dino's taken over. And that's down in San Diego. But yeah, it says, trust me, I'm a lawyer. Wow, I'm not sure.
You've got to see this picture, so go there. Check it out. I'm putting it on my Instagram, too, so people can see it.
I don't think anyone will believe it when it says, trust me, I'm a lawyer. I kind of look like a gangbanger in the picture, not really a lawyer. I don't know. So you're back from Washington.
Yes.
You did the show last week. We were talking to Congressman Brad Sherman.
Yes, and that saved me, because I swear, having congressmen on this radio show, they'll take meetings with you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we shamed him into the meeting, because I was talking to him and I said, oh, Carrie, don't you want to meet with Congressman Sherman for your visitation bill? And he's like,
this was hilarious.
I'd be happy to meet with you, Carrie.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was really funny.
And then you had a comb, a red comb.
Oh, I brought you one.
I hope I didn't switch purses.
I actually got you a comb.
I actually have hair and I can use it. As Congressman Sherman said, he has no hair. He can't use his own comb.
Here it is. I got it for you.
It's blue. I thought it was red.
Well, there's red and blue.
I like the blue one. Ugh. So is this like whether you're a Democrat or
a Republican? You know, I never thought about it. I think there was a black comb in there, too, but I'm not sure. So it could be. Like, grab one, you know, red if you're a Republican.
There's some hair in it.
No,
who
there's
used it?
Not.
Yes, there
nobody
is.
Used it.
Yeah, there's
I got
a
it
lot
for you.
Of hair. Yikes. We have a great show today here on Gervie's Law. Later in the show, we are going to welcome Fred Bartlett to the show. Fred Bartlett is one of the greatest trial lawyers this country has seen. He was named one of the 100 most influential trial lawyers by the National Law Review. He represented President George W. Bush in the 2000 Tallahassee presidential election, Hanging Chad trial. We remember that with the election. And he represents some of the large corporations. You're going to have to ask Fred how he could represent some of these large corporations in these lawsuits, these patent infringement, deceptive advertising. He won a bundle of them. And he's come out with a new book. And the book is about aging. Strong Path, Choosing the Strong Path, Reversing the Downward Spiral of Aging.
Mm-hmm.
This is right up your alley.
It so is.
Because you look like you're 23 and you're really 72 years old.
That's right.
And Fred talks about how you can be strong well into your 80s and how you can live a strong life. And we're going to talk about Strong Path a little bit later in the show. But first of all, we want to welcome to the show Rosalind Layton. Rosalind Layton is the visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where she focuses a lot of her work on communications and digital technology industries. She served on the 2016-17 Federal Communications Commission's Presidential Transition Team. Rosalind, you're in Denmark. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, it's such a pleasure. You guys are a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying your show.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
We're happy you're enjoying it, but we want to talk to you because you can't just sit there in Denmark and enjoy the show, because we have a lot of questions to ask you since you are an expert on what we want to talk about. We want to talk about a lot of the issues that have been in the news very recently regarding Facebook and privacy rights and the Cambridge Analytica data that was obtained. First of all, 10 days ago, Mark Zuckerberg, he testified in Congress, if that's what you want to call it. He answered questions anyway by about 100 Congress people. Rosalind, how do you think Mark Zuckerberg did in Congress?
You know, I think he did as to be expected. It was very scripted.
Totally.
You know, it was very scripted. Now, you also remember, I don't know if he had about 100 handlers there with him. You know, you shouldn't act like this was just made. I mean, this has been, it was very choreographed, I would say, on both sides, certainly on the side of Congress and on the Facebook side. And all of the Facebook people meet with Congress and then they meet one-on-one. So it to me seemed, you know, you're in Los Angeles. So I thought people were reading the script for the first time. They all knew what their lines were.
Well, you know, I have to make a comment there because I don't agree completely. I think you're right. There was a lot of script going on, especially with the Congress people. But a lot of times, as an attorney, I was watching, and the Congress persons would ask their questions, and a lot of them were just comments, and they didn't even give Mark really a chance to answer. And I think he was frustrated by that. A lot of times, he looked like he didn't think they knew what they were talking about. Now, you're an expert in this area. Do you think the Congress people were well-informed and their handlers got them prepared? Or did they just want to make a speech whether they supported regulations, privacy laws, supported the consumer, or didn't?
So, well, for me, I think that there was a different purpose. From their perspective, they're trying, so they're, of course, they're forcing lots of questions into 4 or 5 minutes. It's pretty absurd because they might meet with him for an hour in advance or what have you, maybe not that long, but it's really designed for them to get a soundbite, which they put onto their, you know, personal page, their Facebook page probably, and says, here I am beating down Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. So the, right.
On their Facebook page, of course.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's done for them to demonstrate to their constituents their particular point of view. I mean, that's at least how that's how I interpret it. You know, many people said, oh, the Congress people don't understand how this works. I think they find being, you know, kind of stupid. You know, not all of them are so unintelligent. I think some of them are quite intelligent. But they put on this aspect like, oh, you know, how does your platform work? You know, as if no one's ever heard of it. But it's certainly interesting from the perspective of the whole spectacle. You know, everybody's attention was on that. It was 10 hours. It's unprecedented. We didn't see anything like that since Bill Gates testified a long time ago. So it does add to, it's a political theater. I would call it that.
You know, there was a couple, I think, congresswomen, congressmen who asked questions their constituents wanted asking, not just them. They said, well, this is, I'm going to, you know, put all these questions on record. They're not from me. They're from people. They're my constituents. They're what I, you know, what they want to be asked. And I thought that was a pretty good call on their end. But yeah, you're right. You only get 4 minutes. They're going to use this as sound bites. They're going to use this as, hey, reelect me. Look what I did. You know, I helped you guys out. How else were they supposed to do it, though? That's what I'm trying to figure out. And when I go and testify, you know, in front of the Senate, I have bills that I go for state to state. They give you 3 minutes sometimes.
Right. Well, you also, but there's also a written record that will be quite extensive. But you see, I think that there's a real quid pro quo going on because there is a, you can get a public spanking, which sort of, it's a bit, you sort of pay in public, you get a pound, you put your pound of flesh, but then that means you cooperate in private. So you could see the stock went up for Facebook. So so that's why I said I think he did great. Because certainly from the people of Silicon Valley, they are, you know, they double down on their view. Washington doesn't understand us. They're so stupid. So it actually satisfied everybody. But except I know you guys are, you're in the consumer's corner. So that's where I am. I'm also very concerned of, you know, well, where do we go from here? Is this going to be just more business as usual? Or do we legitimately do things that people care about? You know, are we just making all the powers that be happy?
Right. And I want to follow up on that issue of weighing the rights of consumers versus business rights. But before I do, it does beg the question, and I don't think you have the answer to this, but I want to know, why was Mark Zuckerberg testifying or at least answering questions where there's so many other CEOs of different corporations and companies all through the country that have not been forced to stand before or actually sit on a little riser as he was sitting on before Congress?
That's a great question. I mean, I'll proffer my own answer. You know, I think that, so first of all, there is a bit of a, you know, I think that the Congress, various parties, they want to use Facebook as a scapegoat because it's kind of, you know, it's a whipping boy, if you will. And I don't know if it's not really totally fair. We can also talk about what happened with Cambridge Analytica and this particular academic who used data, which he wasn't authorized to do. Those people weren't testifying, but then you probably wouldn't have 87 million people watching, as you said.
Right.
So they're playing it for this PR value, which, you know, is a bit, you know, we could say that that's manipulative on some level. But I would also say the other, I think Facebook was playing Paul. You know, as I understand, Google has, for years, they've tried to get other platforms, they've refused. And especially Congress has been in the midst of trying to make privacy legislation, and none of the Silicon Valley guys would play ball at all. And because this thing happened with, you know, with the various revelations for it turned to be Facebook this time. So, you know, they decided to come forward. But frankly, I know for months that the Hill has been trying to get the various CEOs and they refuse.
Right.
They have just refused to come and testify.
Yeah, I think that's right on. We have to take a quick break. But Rosalind, after the break, I want to talk about a really interesting article you wrote called Facebook Hearings Show Need to Update Internet Policy So That All Play by the Same Rules. And there's some key points that are made in it. You say protecting Americans' privacy is a goal that transcends party lines and national privacy legislation is a winning proposition for all parties. I'm not so sure that's correct. I understand your sentiment, but I think there's still some party lines that are being played, and I want to talk to you about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Napa Know How.
Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for $6.39 a quart at Napa. Its patented formula fights against sludge and buildup so aggressively, it practically intimidates it. So subdue, frighten, and impose your will on engine problems by grabbing some Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $6.39 a quart. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/18.
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people.
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun. Maybe we should stay together.
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Napa Know How.
Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for $6.39 a quart at Napa. Its patented formula fights against sludge and buildup so aggressively, it practically intimidates it. So subdue, frighten, and impose your will on engine problems by grabbing some Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $6.39 a quart. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/18.
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people.
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun. Maybe we should stay together.
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. We're rocking out right here on Gervie's Law. We're talking to Rosalind Layton. She's in Copenhagen, Denmark, and she is a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. That's a think tank, and it does a lot of important work. She actually advised President Trump's transition team on telecommunication issues. Rosalind, how did that go?
Well, I would tell you, it's a lot less glamorous than you think. You know, we are all volunteers for, 100 days. You know, you don't get paid. You have to take care of it. And that's, but listen, if you're an academic and you're called, you do the job regardless of the party.
That's
and
true.
So that is, you know, that is how it was an honor to do that. But all the journalists and everyone wants to think up that there's, you know, so many things going on that are not going on. And, so that was a bit humorous. In fact, all the work we did was to look at publicly available information from the FCC and do interviews. So if anybody wants to know, transitions have been going on 220 years. There's a wonderful website called presidentialtransition.org. You can actually see the templates for the transition plans that are used. It's quite an interesting, you know, every 4 years we do this. It's a wonderful tradition in American democracy. And so what I would say, it's interesting for that, not so exciting and glamorous as journalists want to make it out to be, but it's still great to be part of it.
Is the FCC too powerful or not powerful enough?
That's a great question. It's extremely powerful. I would lean on the side of too powerful. I think there,
right.
You know, we can argue why it wouldn't be, but I think people forget life, the television days, there were three networks, and this was all about the public interest standard and who wanted to play ball with Congress, and your network had to do anti-communism programming, and that's how it worked, and whoever was going to pony up to that got spectrum. So
yeah.
That's kind of how, that was the game, and, you know, people think that it's not different today. I mean, those sort of So to the extent that we can reduce, I mean, my goal here is reducing regulatory capture, as many decisions that can be done, you know, in terms of evidence-based, economics-based decisions, you can reduce politics. I mean, that was the point of creating the regulator in the first place, was to reduce politics, but it's become all about politics.
Now, you wrote this article called Facebook Hearing Shows Need to Update Internet Policy So That All Play by the Same Rules. And, of course, you come at it from a consumer protection interest versus the free rides of the large tech companies. Isn't it, though, a reality of politics and life that the large tech companies, through a lot of lobbying, through a lot of money, are, especially with the Republican administration now, going to avoid a lot of regulation, and as much as you want to say that it's a good thing, maybe Facebook is going to be left, and other companies like them are going to be left on their own to do their self-regulating.
So in any case, I appreciate that interpretation. I certainly see that there are those who have that view. You know, with the same, if you want to take that same view, you would say, well, what was the Obama administration? It was all about the Democrats were the party of Silicon Valley, and they never had antitrust enforcement, and they got by with a slap on the wrist, and, you know, the antitrust was kind of ignored, and it was all about what's good for Silicon Valley is good for America. So I don't think this has anything, you know, I think both parties have an interest to, you know, promote their constituents. I don't necessarily agree that, one likes regulation and the other doesn't. I think they both like regulation that works for them and their constituents. So it's just how we define it. What I'm talking about in this article, however, is what I'm trying to avoid is using regulation that is helping one industry at the expense of the other. And that's what I think why we have the problem today is that why have these platforms become so big is that essentially they've regulated away their competitors. Now, that was part through their disruptive technology, but a lot of the policies that we've adopted have essentially made it difficult for companies in other industries to enter the tech industry. So if you're, you know, what's going on in California
but
now? You have a bunch of bills saying put privacy rules only on ISPs, but not on the rest, not on their competitors. That is very distortionary for consumers. They'll assume because it's online, it applies across the board. So why shouldn't there be the common rules for everybody?
But isn't there a sense that the free enterprise system allows for companies to exploit the laws as they exist? And when we talk about privacy, it's interesting, you know, getting back to Mark Zuckerberg's comments in Congress, you know, people get Facebook for free. They're not paying for it. He has to make, he has the opportunity to make money, or they do, through advertising. When they steal the data, the information, people put it out there. And I know, you know, Carrie uses social media a lot. And you kind of expect that if you're putting yourself out there, then why can't someone like Cambridge Analytica, and I'm not defending them, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but why can't they have, if it's out there, why can't they take it and use it for whatever purposes, advertising and commercial purposes they want? Because that's the system that allows for it.
Well, so what I would say is I think that there's a pro-business view and then there's a pro-market view, and they're not the same thing. The pro-business view says companies should just do whatever they want. There's an opportunity, go for it. Okay. The pro-market view that I'm espousing is that you don't get to exploit the rules, the law for your favor, because, you know, you're able to use your lobbyists in a better way to make the rules work for you. That's what I'm getting at. And that, you know, so it's kind of an economy based on arbitrage. Now, you're absolutely right. People do put their information in Facebook. It's like, you know, a virtual nudist colony. Everybody's exhibiting everything. It's an exciting place for some. I know some people don't want to be there, you know, fair enough.
And but they can choose not that, to be there.
Right.
Yes. Well, but the other part is that, but here's the other issue, and I guess, you know, I'll put it back in your cart, that this, we also have a platform with literally millions of advertisers and millions of developers. And there's now a question of liability. Is Facebook going to be responsible for the data? So if you're an advertiser, you have your own CRM system, right? You may, and here's the other part. You don't even have to be an advertiser in Facebook. There are scraping tools that will take the publicly available information off of Facebook.
Right.
You can collect it and merge it with your system. So that has nothing to do with Facebook. Okay. But so there is all these external parts out there, and it does create an environment. There is risk. I'm not saying I'm against it, but you know, that is the feature of this.
Yeah.
So,
but there is a legal concept called caveat or caveat emptor, which is let the buyer beware.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know how someone like Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook approaches this, because the question is, are they doing a good enough job self-regulating? Are they going to do more to protect consumers' privacy rights now after the Cambridge Analytica heist? Or are they just kind of laughing behind closed doors and saying, hey, we're still making money, even though our stock went down for a few days, it went back up?
Right. Well, so I don't think we should try to solve this problem the way we solved it in the past. So I actually think we need to look at this in a fresh way, and it might be boring for some, but I honestly think that we need to truly educate consumers. So there's been a study in the European Union. We have there's something called the Eurobarometer, which measures the attitudes and opinions. So you probably are aware of the privacy paradox.
Yep.
We say we value privacy, but we act in a way that is contrary to that. Mm-hmm. So we expose our personal information, we do things we shouldn't, and what have you. So I'm not saying, gee, we have to regulate for people who can't think for themselves, but we don't like the way that we have a driver's license test to get a driver's license. Well, not saying we need to require this, but we should have, you know, social media training, or in the sense that, you know, do we really understand all the things that we're getting into? And it doesn't have to be in a stupid way. There are actually curriculum that are designed. It can be done in high school, especially, you know, for youngsters who are going into college. They get into parties. They want to go on in their careers and so on. You know, a lot of people have had a hard time with jobs, that they get found that they were at a party and did something that maybe you don't want your employer to know. But not only that, but it's also how, you know, it's not maybe not a good idea that we just trust that the technology is a black box and we never question it.
My question,
should have a healthy skepticism.
But here's the thing, and going back to, you know, people that do stupid stuff and post on Facebook, I mean, that to me is like, it's just like the pecking order. Sorry, you're so stupid to do something like that that could affect your job. To me, I don't have any empathy for people like that. But what I do have is people that just don't understand certain things that are written, especially when you're getting an app or you're getting on some social media platform. It needs to be more black and white in layman's terms. If they're selling your information here.
Right.
It needs to be simple. But right. Yes, we do this, or no, we don't. Not this legal language that are paragraphs long that explains something, and you have no idea by the time you're sent I accept terms. You have no idea what it says.
Well, you're absolutely right, Carrie. I mean, those privacy policies, they're written for lawyers, not for the users.
Yes,
that's right.
But on the legal and regulation side, if you look at what the GDPR has done, and then some are contemplating in Congress, they just think if we just make this more explicit, then people will understand. I don't agree with that. We have so many policies that explain in every detail, nobody reads. I actually think we have to go a step further and say, you need to do a role play. You need to show going through, you know, here's Joe, he put his data, this is where it could, this is how, right, what goes right on with it behind the scenes, where that you might actually say, gee, I might not want to use this platform, or I'm going to use it at a lower level, so I don't engage it in this way,
yeah,
or maybe I'm going to try this. And so whereas you have to self-regulate, if you will.
You know, it's interesting because I think of gun regulation as well. And some of the things, the ideas that you have, which I think are excellent, can be used for a lot of problems that we're dealing with gun legislation, gun regulation, but I think also for use of internet and the associated social media. I wish we had more time, Rosalind, because we didn't really get a chance to talk about net neutrality, which is something that is important, and it may have an impact, maybe not right now, but in the future, in 2018, as we move forward. We'll have to have you come back on to talk about net neutrality. This is fascinating right now, and I think I agree with you that whether Mark Zuckerberg should have been testifying or not, it really got people thinking, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. Rosalind, thanks very much for being with us on Gurvey's Law today.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So we're going to come right back. We're going to talk to Fred Bartlett. He's waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn how to age very strongly, very beautifully, and very gracefully. After this, you're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Barbara Bush is about to be buried at her final resting place in College Station, Texas. At her Houston funeral this morning, about 1,500 people came to offer their final respects. Eight of her grandsons served as pallbearers. Her husband, former President George H.W. Bush, followed in his wheelchair, which was pushed by former President George W. Bush. Amnesty International gave former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick its Ambassador of Conscience Award today for his kneeling protest of racial injustice that launched a sports movement and might have cost him his job. One-time San Francisco 49ers teammate Eric Reid presented Kaepernick with the award during a ceremony in Amsterdam. In his acceptance speech, the award winner described police killings of African Americans and Latinos in the United States as lawful lynchings. KABC SoCal weather, sunny for the rest of the afternoon with highs from the mid-60s to around 70 at the beaches to around 80 inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Napa Know-How.
Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for $6.39 a quart at Napa. Its patented formula fights against sludge and buildup so aggressively, it practically intimidates it. So subdue, frighten, and impose your will on engine problems by grabbing some Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $6.39 a quart. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/18.
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people.
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun. Maybe we should stay together. Ah!
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I just need a little me time.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem.
Yay!
What a great lead-in.
This music?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's really good. I hope it never ends. But we want to introduce our next guest. It's an honor to have Fred Bartlett on our show. He's had an illustrious career as a trial lawyer, named one of the lions of the trial bar. He is named one of the 100 most influential trial lawyers by the National Law Review. An amazing career, has tried so many cases representing large corporations like Bayer, Reebok, Bissell, DuPont, General Motors, Monsanto, Firestone Tires, a million of them in patent infringement, antitrust, deceptive advertising, pharmaceutical litigation. Fred, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Alan.
It's great to have you. You have been so successful as a trial lawyer, and before that you were a former Army Ranger, and now, amazingly enough, actually, before we talk about your book and your website about Strong Path, it was Barbara Bush's funeral today, and you were trial counsel for President George W. Bush in the 2000 Tallahassee presidential election, the Hanging Chads case.
Right.
Did you ever get to meet Barbara Bush?
No, I never met her. Jeb was there all the time, and the governor, he was then the governor, was around some, but I never met Barbara. She was quite a person, wasn't she?
Quite a woman. The strength behind the Bush family. And, you know, I know you did some hard work. Now, you've represented, what, two different presidents in cases?
Yeah, Alan, I represented President Obama in the Deepwater Horizon rig blow-up in the Gulf. He appointed me the chief counsel to his presidential commission, trying to figure out what happened there. So I'm a equal opportunity representative of president.
It sounds like it. And, you know, it makes some of us think, because some of the causes that you have defended and been successful on are not necessarily popular in the public eye. When you're representing a large corporation in either a catastrophic event or some injury, or where some drug may have caused a lot of pain and sorrow, how do you reconcile that with your dedication to the law and representing your client?
Well, I don't represent somebody who is just plain wrong. I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities, been asked to represent a lot of very familiar names, and I've turned it down because I thought they had a crappy case, and I didn't want to spend a year or two or three of my life on a crappy case. So we do a lot of due diligence before we take a case. That doesn't mean we take only winners. We lose cases once in a while, but we take the 60-40 cases, the ones in the middle. Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I've asked that to you know, what, going on 5 years here?
Yeah, to Effley Bailey, to
every
Tom
single,
Mesereau, yeah,
attorney
to Alan
that's
Dershowitz.
Been on here. Alan Dershowitz, yes. The other guy with the big cowboy hat.
Oh, Jerry Spence.
Oh, Jerry Spence was a friend of mine, quite a guy.
He is a great guy, and he's been on the show a couple times.
And so
Carrie, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can, but I'm going to ask you mine first. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to finish this statement.
Okay.
You're the first lawyer that actually has said, I will not take the case if I don't believe in it, instead of, oh, people need to be defended too, and we have to defend, and that's their right. You're the first person. I can't remember somebody else saying, I don't take a case if I don't believe in it. Like, there's been one that said, yeah, there was a guy, I think, that they knew he murdered somebody, and he
couldn't
defend. Yeah, that
was Bundy, Mr. Brown, who was on the show for the...
But that's it. Huh. Yeah, you're, like, the first. So congratulations. I wish I had a prize for you. Now you can ask me your question.
So there was a legendary broadcaster named Casey Kasem.
Who?
Casey Kasem. Is that your family?
Yeah, he's my dad.
Oh, my gosh. What a great voice.
Oh, thank you. You have a great voice, too. I bet people told you your whole life you should be in radio.
When I was about 19, walking down the street in New York City, somebody said I should be an actor.
Yeah.
And I thought about that for about 20 seconds.
And then it was out. You have a great voice. But yeah, my dad was Casey Kasem. You know that we had to go through that whole fight too. So I got really into an understanding law. And right when I was going through that with my dad, I got this show. So it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. And Fred, they actually called you John Wayne in a pinstripe suit. And you sound like John Wayne. It's a perfect analogy for you. A lawyer who is the John Wayne, the good guy, fighting the evil.
Well, you know, I grew up in the heart of the South Side of Chicago, and when I left at 17 to be in the military, I'd never been in a restaurant. I had a classic working town American youth, and that's the best way to grow up to be a trial lawyer, because you know what people are really like, not just the ones that go to the elite schools.
That's right, and, you know, it segues nicely with when you were 20 years old, former Army Ranger, in excellent shape, and now we talk about you at a young 85 years old being...
Yeah, I'll be 86 in 2 months.
In 2 months.
Wow.
Yep. Stronger now as an 85-year-old than as an Army Ranger. And we have to talk about this book that has just come out, Choosing the Strong Path, Reversing the Downward Spiral of Aging. How in the heck did you make this transition from being this illustrious trial lawyer to being a guru on focusing on staying young and being able to be strong as you get into your 60s, 70s, and 80s?
Well, there's always a woman at fault, isn't there?
Always, always.
So I'm 50 years old, and I'm in Denver during the boom days, and I run into this unbelievable woman. I'm blown away. I'm 50. She's 35. I got to say, we've been married for 33 years now.
Wow.
So I think I'm in pretty good shape then, former Ranger, troop commander. You know how men think. You know, Alan. Carrie probably doesn't know.
Yeah, I do. I know.
But anyway, I said, let's go to the gym. And I thought I'd show off how strong I was. We walked out of the gym, and she said, that's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You're wasting your time. It's not intense enough. The weights aren't hard enough. And I said, what do I do? She said, we find a strip mall with a bunch of guys with raggedy shirts whose necks are bigger than your waist, and you learn something. I did it, and I've always been active in a lot of sports. By the time I was 60, 10 years later, I noticed all my buddies had quit skiing. And I wondered why. I got some new buddies, and then at about 80, they all quit. And I started doing some research. Why was it that I was having this great life, skiing, playing golf for money, you know, doing all the things I like to do, and my buddies were all quit. And I came across this little-known disease called sarcopenia.
Sarcopenia.
It's
muscle wasting.
Well, but muscle wasting, right. It's just been recognized by medical science. It's a little-known disease that affects every single one of us, you, me, everybody listening to this, begins sapping our strength at age 30, accelerates in the 50s, and again after 65. For most people, it lays waste to a big chunk of the last half of their adult life, and your doctor knows not a doggone thing about it, and you won't get any medical advice.
Okay, so what is the prescription, just heavy weights and gym?
To figure out how to cure it, you got to know the cause. The United States government last year said it's one of the worst diseases, one of the two or three worst diseases affecting everybody in America. And they said there was no therapy. That means no cure. They're wrong. The disease is caused by our totally sedentary way of life today. You know that as well as I do. I'm sure you have a lot of stuff on your show about that.
But, yes, we do.
Right.
But, you know, today's 98. People say today's 40-year-old is 60, but today's 19-year-old is 60.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
And our bodies were designed for, you know, our gene pool, the way we were evolved, was designed for 24/7 intense physical activity. It's mismatched to a sedentary world, guys. It just we don't operate that world. And so after 60, just about, there's this downward spiral of decay. And it's so bad that one of the top doctors in all of America is the top bioethicist, Harvard, Yale, Oxford, all that. He wrote a long story last year saying it's better to die at 75 than endure a life worth living after 75.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to agree with that. I see that.
You know, it's interesting, though, Fred, you talk about the gene pool.
Right.
And the question becomes, when you have been such an excuse the expression, but a stud, not only as an Army Ranger, but as a trial attorney, which takes a lot of stamina, a lot of ability to deal with stress, a high-stress job. Isn't it true, though, that some people are just geared toward taking the strong path, being motivated, being able to fight sarcopenia, where others, because of the gene pool, just are kind of the, I don't know, lesser motivated, underwhelmed with the strength programming?
Well, it's true that there's a lack of motivation, but it's not true that your genes can save you if you don't pump iron. Most people after, if they ever pumped iron, most people after 65 or so don't pump iron at all. The average 60-year-old American woman doesn't get 1 hour a year of intense physical activity. And the only thing that keeps you really going is intense physical activity, because our bodies were designed for that 50,000 years ago. And if you give it to them now, your body will respond fast. And it does respond fast.
Now, let me ask you a question. I think that diet plays a big part in this as well as exercise. Would you not agree?
Yeah, big, big role. One of our team is the top nutrition PhD guy down at the University of Texas. And a big deal is protein. The average guy my size, about 210 or so, needs 200 grams of protein a day. A 130-pound woman probably needs, 120 grams of protein a day. You need that for your body to function.
Now, a quick question. I understand that. I've been told, because I had some issues being a vegan. My hair started to fall out. I felt sick. I was vegan for 24 years, and they said protein, protein, protein. So now I'm doing a lot of protein, protein, protein. For the first time in my life, I have high cholesterol. Never had that before. But then I look at, like, the gorillas and apes and elephants that don't eat protein, and they're the strongest beings on Earth. They are vegetarians. Why are we so different from them, and why are we having so much heart disease with all this protein? I'm just really trying, and I'm asking you this because I don't understand it. I mean, I went from being a vegan to now a vegetarian, and now with high cholesterol, but my hair stopped falling out. So
well,
I don't know what
to
do.
This is interesting because I had the same question. So my wife and I went to Rwanda and went up to see the mountain gorillas.
Yeah.
These guys weigh 700 pounds. And their heads are as big as an easy chair,
yeah.
And they're called silverbacks, and you don't mess with them.
Right.
So I went there, and I talked to the people. The solution is, the answer is, they are exercising unbelievably hard all day long.
Wow. But so it doesn't matter, then, that they don't have that intake of protein? I mean, yes, they do eat bugs, which have protein, and greens have protein, but they don't need all the protein that we do. Is it
You know, if they'd evolved that way, it's all evolution. It's all, there's a long story there, but all human physiology is determined by evolution. And we evolved with protein. They evolved eating fruit.
Right, right.
And we need protein to make our muscles turn out the hormones and things that make us strong and happy and cheerful and make us live a great, happy life. They don't need that, but they do get all kinds of exercise, and these old silverbacks, they're nobody to mess with. Even a little baby.
Yeah. No, it's true.
They
come up to you and
grab your leg.
We got to take a quick break. And I did track gorillas as well in Uganda a few years ago, and it was an incredible experience. And I remember when one of them walked by me, I was frozen, and he walked by me, and he just had this majesty, wow. The just majestic quality. That
so cool.
It was really an amazing experience. I'm sure you did, too.
You're not supposed to look him in the eye.
Right. Absolutely, right, no. We did not. I wanted to take a picture, but I couldn't because we stood still. But the strength and the power just was amazing. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, Fred. We want to come back and talk about Strong Path. The website is strongpath.com. And during the break, feel free, go to strongpath.com. Amazing stuff on that website. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. GEICO waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the GEICO legal team would be cool with that, because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Get a true cinematic experience with the Dell XPS 13 powered by 8th-gen Intel Core processors and featuring new Dell Cinema technology. With Dell Cinema, you'll get incredible color, immersive sound, and smoother streaming so you can bring all your binge-worthy shows to life. It's everything you love about the big screen, now on your laptop screen. Because if it's made for a cinematic experience, it's made for Dell. Visit Dell.com or call 1-800-BUY-DELL. That's 1-800-BUY-DELL.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah. We're talking common sense advice, that's for sure. This is very important stuff. Common sense from a legend in the trial lawyer business, one of the lions of the trial bar, Fred Bartlett has joined us. He's with Bartlett, Beck, Herman, Palantir, and Scott. Bartlett Beck is what we usually know them as. And not only has he been one of the most successful trial lawyers in our country, but he's come out with a book that came out in January called The Strong Path, Choosing the Strong Path, Reversing the Downward Spiral of Aging. It's strongpath.com. And Fred, you have some really important articles. You have Fred's Forum. You've got Fred's Daily Picks. You're spending a lot of time really getting this message out.
Well, Alan, this website of ours, we have no advertising on it. No pop-ups, no supplements, nothing. It's all the latest research, all peer-reviewed stuff, things that will blow you away. You know, it's amazing how few people today, even at the top levels of medicine, get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just to give you an idea of how the world is changing, the UK medical colleges just concluded that intense physical activity is a miracle cure, not only for frailty and aging, but for a whole wide range of diseases. Harvard Medical School just concluded that exercise has a bigger impact on disease risk than any other remedy, and if it could be bottled, it would be the most prescribed medicine.
Wow.
The Center for Disease Control calls regular physical activity a wonder drug. You know, these guys don't throw these words around lightly.
No.
And nobody knows this. People think it's kind of okay to go for a nice walk and all that, but you've got two kinds of muscles in your body, and the walk only gets 40% of them. And to really live the kind of life you want to live, you've got to use heavyweights to failure. And by heavyweights, of course, it's the heaviest weights you can handle, and you start building up and all that.
Well, I know for women, you know, especially with osteoporosis, using heavy weights is great for the bones. You know, they say that you definitely got to do weights for women to keep your bones in order. What about running? I'm a runner. That's my drug of choice, if you could say that. I love that. That if I feel like I need to get in shape, I run. So what does that?
Running gets your slow twitch muscles, the endurance muscles. I do cardio. I don't do just weights. You have to do both. Your body's 40% slow twitch, so you're getting those. But if you're not pumping iron, you're not getting the 60% fast twitch muscles that are good for skiing and hitting a golf ball and not falling down when you get in your 70s and all that kind of thing. So you got to do both.
You know, I got to tell you, the website is really addictive. I was looking at it this morning, and the articles and all the information, you're right. It's things that you just don't hear from mainstream medicine. It probably doesn't have money behind it. So that's why it's something that you have to kind of do the research on your own. Fred, tell us what you see as the most important thing for people who, we have a lot of listeners who are in their maybe 60s, 50s, 70s. How can they be as strong as you are at 85?
Well, the last half of our book tells exactly how to get started. On our website, we've got videos that show the Harvard recommendations for what do you do to get started, what do you do next. It's really important to go to a gym. It's probably best to start with a trainer. Senior citizens, you can get free membership in something like 2,000 gyms under a government program called Silver Sneakers. I don't particularly like that, but it's true. So you can look on our website or read our book, and then you can get a trainer and you can get started. And the key here, guys, we never talk about weight. People are sick of hearing about their weight. We talk about strength because the only thing that's correlated with a great last half of your adult life is strength. And strength comes faster than weight control because a big reason why you lose weight is lose strength.
Loss of strength. You know,
because your neurological system, your nerves, they forget how to contract a muscle. And they learn quick, and you can triple your strength in 6 or 8 weeks usually.
Now, you're not doing this alone. You have, is it Stephen Droulard who is your co-author? Now, he talks, and also Dr. Marty Bopart is also involved. But Stephen talks about overcoming mental pitfalls and challenges that can defeat your motivation, your ability to do what you're talking about.
You know what we find? We find that women 55 to 70 get what we teach quicker than men at the same age. Men, particularly successful men, there's something about going to a gym that they just don't like. They don't like the idea of going to a gym. There's a bunch of young guys grunting and groaning and lifted weights, and they got these pipe stem arms, and you know, they just feel awful. And it's a very big mental hurdle for a lot of people to get over. We've picked 7 or 8 people and worked with them for a couple of years to see if we could change their ways. And they're all in both the book and on the website. And people can change. They can learn the right way to do it. And when they do, their whole life changes. I mean, I'm telling you that at 85, I can do everything I've ever done. And I've never been happier in my entire life. And that's what it's all about, guys.
How do you get the book? I need to order it right now.
It's on Amazon under Fred Bartlett.
B-A-R-T-L-I-T. Yep. On Amazon. It's called Strong Path, Choosing the Strong Path, Reversing the Downward Spiral of Aging.
You sound 50. You're ageless. You really are.
Well, there's a lot more to this. I know time's short, but you know what telomeres are?
No. What is that?
Telomeres are little tails on your chromosomes, and when for you to continue alive, living, your cells have to divide. When they divide, the telomeres get short.
Right.
When the telomeres get real short. You get old looking, and you die.
Yes.
But and everything I cite is a peer-reviewed, long latitudinal study. If you work out intensely, your telomeres stay long, and you look, act, think, and carry yourself like somebody 25 years younger. I'm getting ready to try a $2 billion jury trial.
Nice.
And you know, I'm not bragging, okay? I'm just a guy that wants people to understand this.
Good.
But I'm probably the only lawyer in America still trying billion-dollar jury cases at 85. And the reason is not that I'm any different, it's that I learn different things, okay?
Well, we want to wish you good luck on that trial, and we want to check in with you to see how it's going. It's called Strong Path, Choosing the Strong Path, Reversing the Downward Spiral Aging, strongpath.com. Fred Bartlett, it's been an honor. Thank you for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
Likewise, guys.
Okay.
All right, have a great day. And to everyone else listening, go out, work out, get strong, and be Fred. We'll see you next week.
Bye.